Well, I want to say good morning to everyone. It's time for church, and we're just doing the best we can with what we've got, and we went ahead and started the live feed just a few minutes early, and we see some people are coming online, and we wanted to certainly give time for that, but the sun is starting to come out, and it's going to be a pretty day. We've had a couple of pretty days. We're very, very thankful for that. And we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to have church on Facebook Live. And so I hope you've been praying for the message today and that we're praying for one another as a church family. We need to pray also for our nation, our leaders, those who are sick, nurses, doctors, first responders, funeral home directors. I've thought about those that have lost loved ones during this difficult time, how much harder that would be. And then we've also thought about those who have other sicknesses, cancer treatments, chemotherapy. This just makes everything harder on everybody else. But we are thankful that we have this opportunity and we can use this and hopefully that some good would come out of it. So we've had a lot of people tuning in and saying that they've enjoyed it. And so we're very, very thankful for that. I want Chloe to come again this morning. She's going to sing a song before we get started. And I wanted to just quickly say, some pastors are going to the church. I've chosen to do this from home. I've preached in a lot of different places. I've preached in churches, of course, outside, radio studios, radio stations, prisons, lots of places down through the years. And personally for me, it would be very depressing to go to church and preach to a bunch of empty pews. And so I've chosen to do this from home. You're at home. We're at home. We are trying to do the best we can in this thing together. So every church, every pastor, you just got to find out what works for you and how the Holy Spirit leads you, and then do that. And that's what we certainly want to try to do. So I'm outside on the patio this morning. The sun's starting to come out. It's rained a little bit, but it's a pretty day. So we thank the Lord for that. So Chloe, she's going to come. You can sing along with her. You probably know this hymn, Blessed Assurance. It's a great one. And so I hope you get a blessing out of it. Chloe, come on, sing this morning.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite songs. I enjoy that so much. It's a great song, and it has a great message to it, and then one of my favorite people singing it, that makes it that much better. So I appreciate Chloe singing today, and I'm just going to go to the Lord in prayer. I have put on the screen, I don't know if you're able to see it or not, but the scripture today is going to be from Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through verse number 15. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 through verse number 15, and we're going to read that, and then I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. I ask that you would join with me. So Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's pray. Father, I come today. I want to thank you for all your blessings. Thank you that we have this opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that the word of God would go out. It would be a blessing. It would be a help to your people, to anyone who may be watching or listening that doesn't know what it means to be saved. They're not sure if they have eternal life or not. They don't know if they have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe they're just religious. I don't know, but Lord, you are the one that is able to speak to hearts. And Lord, you go to people individually. And Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would do that today. You would speak to individual hearts, and that nothing would hinder or cause this message, this radio broadcast to be, or not radio, but Facebook to be interrupted. And I pray that you would get a blessing out of it. Bless the rest of this day and help us to have wisdom in this day and time. We look to you and we ask these things. We pray for our country, our nation, our leaders, God, that you would just be with them, and most of all, heal our nation and help today. I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. And so I said this radio broadcast, some of you may or may not know, I was on the radio for over 20 years, so it's very easy for me to talk about being on the radio, and I realize that I'm not. So that just slip of the tongue there. But this passage of scripture has been on my heart all week long. Well, I say all week long, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, Kim and I went on a little walk, and I was just thinking and praying about what I might preach on today. And this passage of scripture, especially verse number 12, kept coming to my mind, and I was thinking about it, meditating on it. And verse 12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And especially the last part of verse number 12, where it talks about in this present world. And I'm thankful today that God's word speaks to us now. That's what that means. This present world, right now, where we are, God has a message for you, and God has a message for me in this present world. Now, the Apostle Paul did not know what it was going to be like in the year 2020. I'm sure they were, he didn't know, would have never imagined, I don't think, that we would have cars, trains, planes, automobiles, electricity, electric lights, central heating, all of the things that we have today. The Apostle Paul wouldn't have known, he wouldn't have known about world wars and nuclear weapons and 9/11 and, COVID-19. The Apostle Paul didn't know about any of these things. He's the one that wrote this letter to Titus. But we understand today that the Bible, God's Word, was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God, this is God's Word. Paul did not know what this present world was going to be like. He was writing in his time and talked about this present world. But guess what? This applies to us today. God knew what was going to happen. God knows. God is not surprised what is going on in the world today. So I am so thankful that the Bible speaks to us in this present world right now. I realize today that there's a lot of people that are fearful, that are worried. These are uncertain times that we're living in, you know, and we have never, I've talked to several of the older people in our church, and you know, they say, we've never seen anything like this, and certainly we never have in our generation, in our lifetime, or even in the world. Has there ever been the things that are going on right now? And so we are in uncharted waters. Things are different than they have ever been before. So it's very strange days we're living in. Now, what I want to preach on today is actually in the form of a question. What in the world are we going to do? What in the world are we going to do? And there's a lot of people asking the questions, what in the world are we going to do? These are strange days. I've heard a lot of people say, this is just weird, and it is, and it's strange. What are we going to do? What are we going to do if? That's the thing. I mean, talk about how strange it is. We're not having church. I'm doing this from my back patio. When we were remodeling this past summer, and this was a kitchen, actually, and it was inside, and we tore it all out and made it an outside patio. If you'd have told me 6 months ago or whenever it was, you know, well, you're going to be doing church from here. I would have never in a million years imagined that. We're not having church. Nobody is. People are not going to work. They're used to going to work. Children are not going to school. They should be in school right now. It's the month of March, you know. And people are not going to their jobs. Sports have been canceled. And how odd that is that, you know, it should be March Madness and basketball season and the start of baseball season and NASCAR and, you know, things that we just, it's just part of our lives, and we're not able to do those things. My wife has not had a stitch of makeup on in 14 days. And I think she's starting to like it. I don't know if she'll ever wear any makeup And so it's just weird and strange days. I mean, she hasn't been out of the house hardly three Sundays now. Strange, very strange days. Now, if I'm not on next time, you'll know she killed me over that. But it's the truth, and I bet she's not the only one. But whoever would have thought that we would be going through the things that we're going through right now. So what are we going to do? What will we do if? And that if, man, the great unknown, that's what causes us to have fear and uncertainty in our lives. And so what is the answer to that? The answer, as always, is in the Bible, in the Scripture. And so that's what I'm going to look at this morning. And I really encourage you to look along in your Bible, underline these things, and it'll be a help to you later on. What are we going to do? Well, the first thing, what are we going to do, or what will we do, has to do with our living, how we live our lives. How are we supposed to live? What are we going to do? Well, the answer is in the Bible. Verse 12, teaching us, or I'm going to go back and read verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, the same grace of God that brought salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ also teaches us how to live in this present world. And how does the grace of God teach us? Well, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, I'm going to come back to that denying ungodliness because it talks about godliness in the last part of this verse. So I'm going to tie them together in a little bit. But the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, that those worldly lusts are not necessarily evil things. They could be evil things, but the things of this world that we lust after. And you know, one thing that this quarantine and this virus and all of this that's going on is teaching us is that we can live without a lot of the things that we thought that we could not live without. Now, don't ask me to say that again. I probably couldn't. But we're learning to live without the worldly lust. Man, we got to have our sports. You know, that's how Americans are. You meet somebody any other time and, you know, did you watch the game? And how's the team going to do this year? And who's going to win this? And what do you think about that? I mean, it's just, but it's just worldly things. It's not necessarily an evil thing, a bad thing, but if it's out of place, if it's out of proportion, and so we're living that there's things that we thought we couldn't live without, but we're living without those things by the grace of God. And preachers and people have said for years, you know, we put too much emphasis on this. We need to think about the Lord. We need to think about our relationship with Him, but we can't get away from it. But, you know, this thing could be, by the grace of God, teach us some things that aren't really as important as we thought that they were. The grace of God will do that for us. Sports, jobs, how people go to jobs, how people work, how people spend money or maybe don't have money. And not just, and, you know, you say, well, preacher, I got to have a job. I realize that. And I'm not saying, but all these things are worldly. Restaurants, movie theaters, gyms, all of these things, I mean, they're closed. And who would ever thought that we would have a time such as this? Now, my paper flowed off my Bible there. So that's part of the perils of live broadcasting. But we think about the time in which we're living in. Here's how we should live. So how are we supposed to live? We should live. There's three things: soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, the first portion of that, how we should live, is an admonition. We should live soberly, is what the Bible says. Now, if you're not familiar with the language of the Bible, you might think that's talking about drunkenness versus soberness, but it's not exactly talking about that. Of course, that's an aspect of anything, but soberly there is talking about our mind. It's talking about having a safe mind, a sound mind. I preached about that two Sundays ago, I think it was, out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That sound mind, that sober mind, that is how we're supposed to live. What are we going to do, preacher? How are we going to live? We're going to live soberly. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And that word soberly, it also means this. It means to be self-controlled. It means to be moderate as to opinion or passion. We're not going to go off the deep end over this. We're not going to go crazy over this. We're going to live with a safe, sound, moderate, I like how that is, moderate as to opinion or passion. And I was reading this morning in Proverbs 29, and verse number 11 says this: "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." So we're not going to go off the deep end. We're not going to come along and say, oh, this is the end of the world. This is this, or that. We should live soberly. What is this? Just take it for what it is. And I know there's a lot of talk and a lot of, you know, there'll be conspiracy theories and this is man-made or whatever the case might be. It doesn't matter. A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. We're going to live soberly. That's an admonition from the Bible. We should live without fear, but we should live with a healthy fear. Now you say, how can you do that? Well, I'm not going to live in fear every day. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen if? That'll drive you crazy. God has not called us to live that way, but to live soberly. I look around, the sun's beginning to shine, the birds are singing, the grass is getting green. Life is pretty much, right now, going on as before. We're healthy. Praise the Lord for that. A lot of people are not. I realize that. But we're not to live in fear, but we should live with a healthy fear. Now, what does that mean, a healthy fear? Well, I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to keep a social distance. And if I was carrying something, I certainly wouldn't want to give it to somebody else. You know, we're going to do the best we can under the circumstances. We are going to be courageous and careful at the same time. That'd be a good way to put it. I'm not going to live in fear, but I am going to be careful. And so that is part of living soberly. Living soberly means we're going to obey the law and we're going to obey the Lord at the same time. The law is saying to stay at home. And I know a lot of people don't like that. And I've heard people arrogantly, you know, they're talking about, well, this is encroaching on our civil liberties. And, you know, nobody's going to tell us we are not able to have church. Well, let me just say, nobody's telling you not to have church. This is not the 1700s or the 1600s in America where one religious group is telling another religious group, you can't meet together, you can't have church. This is affecting everybody. Everybody equally is asked to do their part and to stay away and to try to stop the spread of this virus. That is for the good of everybody. And so this is not a question of civil liberty. Here's it, you know, I say this sometimes, and I don't mean this in a bad or a smart way, but Jesus is pretty smart. And he's the one that said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so you don't have to have 100 people to have church. You got to have him, number one, and you got to have two or three. But if you've got him and you, that's two. And so you can worship the Lord. This is not about that. We're going to obey the law, but we're also going to obey the Lord. And we're going to carry the gospel. What are we going to do, preacher, if we can't get together? Well, lost people don't come to church anyway. You know, your neighbor, somebody you work with that you're supposed to be witnessing to, we're going to carry the gospel to them. And we also might need to carry a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk or something, and put it on the doorstep and try to be what we ought to be. Take every day as a blessing. Every day is an opportunity. Today is a day that we need to live with eternity in view. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So to live soberly means to be safe, to have a sound mind. And I think that's very important. The second part of our living is an action. It has to do with our actions. Now, the Bible says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. That's the first thing I dealt with. Second thing is the word righteously. And the word righteously means equitable. It means to be equal in regards to the rights of others. And so how are we going to treat our fellow man? By doing right by others. And I thought about this yesterday. I was studying and reading in Luke chapter number 10 about the Good Samaritan. And maybe you've heard about the Good Samaritan in the Bible. And the Lord Jesus told about this man. And he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was attacked by thieves and he was injured. And the Bible says that they left him. He was half dead. That's what the Bible says. Now, how are you half dead? He was half dead, half alive. He was in bad shape. He's laying beside the road. The Bible says that a priest came by. Now, if anybody ought to have compassion and help somebody, surely the priest would. Surely the preacher would. But the Bible says that he passed by on the other side. And he didn't stop and help the man that was laying in the ditch half dead. Then the Bible says that the Levite came by. A Levite was a part of the Jewish priesthood, but he would have been less than the priest. You know, he worked about the things of God. And the Bible says he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So he was interested. You know, you remember when people used to get together in droves, but, you know, you'd be driving down the interstate and all of a sudden the traffic stops and you wonder, oh my goodness, what's happened? And it might just be a fender bender. It's not really that bad, but what people slow down, they want to see what's happening. I think about that Levite when I think about that. He came, he looked on him, he passed by on the other side. But then the Bible says that the Samaritan came, the good Samaritan came by, and he came and he looked on him and he had compassion on him and he bound up his wounds and he put him on his beast and he took him to an inn and he paid for him. Do you know what this time is going to be? This is going to be a time where we have a greater opportunity than maybe any other time in our lives to be like the Lord Jesus and to help somebody out and to do right by our fellow man, to do right. Now, society thinks, oh, we'll all turn on each other and we'll all shoot each other and, you know, we'll go crazy. I hope and pray to God nothing like that happens in our country. I pray that we will come together, that we will learn to love one another, that we will learn to help one another, that we will learn to visit with our neighbor like we used to do. You know, when they say back in the good old days, we forgot about all that stuff. And it's just me, myself, and I. But if we live righteously, we're going to live in equity with our fellow man. We're going to be conscious of their rights and what how we ought to treat them. That is what the word righteously, our actions, we need to make sure during this time. What are we going to do, preacher? We need to do right. Do right. Righteously means right. We need to do right in our lives. Well, living. Talking about how we're going to live in these days. We're going to live soberly, righteously, and then the third thing has to do with our attitude, not towards one another, but our attitude towards God. And it says godly. That's what the Bible says. We're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I've got that underlined in my Bible. In this present world. Right now. What are we going to do? Well, godly. Now, what is godly? Well, it's the opposite of ungodly. That's what it is. And the first part of the verse says, teaching us that denying ungodliness, and then it comes on down and it says, we should live godly in this present world. Godliness versus ungodliness. Now, an atheist, somebody that doesn't believe in God at all, can live a moral life, can be kind to their neighbor, can stop and help somebody whose car is broken down or intervene in an emergency and rush somebody to the hospital or just take a bag of groceries to somebody that needs it. An atheist can do that. No, nobody's saying that an atheist, and I'm taking the extreme to unbelief, but they can do moral things, they can do righteous things, but when we're talking about godly versus ungodly, you know what that does? That brings God into this thing. And when you bring God into our lives, what it does, it actually elevates, it raises the moral standard. So righteousness says, you know, be good to your neighbor, things like that. Here's an example. When you're talking about godly versus ungodly, and we talk about New Testament Christianity, it raises the bar higher than even the Old Testament law. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. The Old Testament law said, thou shalt not kill. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Well, we know murder is wrong. Killing somebody, that's wrong. But Jesus comes along and Jesus says, you know the law, thou shalt not kill. He said, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but he said, but I say unto you, if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. That's a difference between a righteous, a godly thing. If you hate somebody, you've already committed murder in your heart. We're to live godly lives. That means I'm not going around killing people for sure, but I'm also not hating them. That brings God into it. And I'm telling you, in our present world, there is way too much hatred going on. And let me just say, and I'm not trying to be political, but man, the Democrats hate the Republicans, and the Republicans and the Democrats, and I mean, our country just, and a lot of that is coming off the news, and it fosters that. And if you get your mind and your heart drawn into that, there's so much hatred there. God has not called us to hatred. Before Jesus went back, he said, I've got a new commandment. It's greater than all the other commandments. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's godliness. We're to live godly lives. That should be our attitude. The law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery already. You didn't have to go through the action if you've just done it in your heart. So godliness elevates everything. What are we going to do, preacher? How are we going to live? Soberly, righteously, and godly. That has to do with our living. Now, the second thing, what are we going to do? Quickly. Now, those of you that's heard me preach a lot, you know I'm like a train, and you get started really slow, and it takes a long time to get up to speed, but once you get there, you tend to go on. And so I'm there, and I'm going to be done in just a moment. And I appreciate everybody listening in, but the first part of what we're going to do has to do with our living. The second part of what we are going to do has to do with our looking. And living is mentioned, but looking is mentioned. Verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That has to do with our looking. And let me point this out quickly. When the Bible talks about in this present world, do you know what I learned from that? That this world is a temporary world. The way things are right now is not always the way that things are going to be. This is just this present world, this temporary world, this fleeting world. It's not always going to be like this. That's just in this present world. But for the children of God, what are we doing? We're looking for something else. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that we're strangers and we're pilgrims and we're passing through. All of this life is temporary. All of this world is temporary. What are we doing? We are looking for that blessed hope. Blessed means happy, oh so happy. Let me tell you, it's not always going to be like this. There's something better for the child of God. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. How many gods are there? There's only one God. The Old Testament and the New Testament teaches that there's only one God. The Bible says here in the New Testament, it talks about we're looking for the appearing of the great God. The great God, who is that? That's Jehovah God. That's the only God. That's the God that created the heavens and the earth. We are looking for the appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, was God manifest in the flesh. God came to the world that He created. He lived in a human body. He was subjected to all the hunger and the pain and the heartache and the fatigue and everything like we live, like we experience in our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews, yet without sin. He came, He died upon the cross, He was buried, He rose again the third day. Why did He do that? Well, He did that to save us from our sins. So the first part of our, what we're going to do has to do with our living. The second part has to do with our looking. We're looking for him to come again, and he is coming again. That part of our message has not changed. The message from Christians all down through the centuries has been, he's coming again. He's coming again. You say, preacher, what does all this mean? I don't know what all this means, but I'll tell you this. Before all this started happening, we were preaching and believing he's coming again. And before Y2K, we were saying he's coming again. And that's been the message down through the ages. What does that mean? He's coming again. We're to be looking for that. But it also has to do with our Lord. What in the world are we going to do? We need to keep our eyes on him. Look what he did in verse number 14. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. That's what I was talking about a moment ago. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That word redeem, it has to do with buying. And where did he buy us from? From the slave market of sin. Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, is what the Bible says. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us. I was talking with one of my friends the other day, and we were, talking about everything that was going on. And I asked the question, and we talked about it again after that. But, you know, are Christians really taking this as seriously as we ought to? Man, we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying that the gospel would have power. We ought to be praying that souls would be saved and see their need of Jesus Christ in their lives. You know, a lot of things are going on. God may use this to give a great revival. God may use this to cause a great harvest to come into the body of Christ. Boy, that ought to be our prayer, that people would see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need sports. You don't need, you don't need a lot of things. But boy, I'm telling you, we sure need him. And if you're listening in today or watching in today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's what you need more than anything else in this world, is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. That word believe, that's the key. And it's like this. It's like when you get in a boat, you're putting all your faith in that boat. You're not keeping one leg on the dock and one in the boat. You're getting all the way in. And you are trusting your life that that boat is not going to sink and it's going to hold you up. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are putting all of your life, you are putting all of your eternity on what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. And you're trusting. You're trusting in that. That is what is going to get you to heaven. That is what is going to establish a relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he gave himself for us that he might redeem a people. He wants you. He wants all the people in the world to know him, that he died for them, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. This may be a part of him purifying unto himself. Well, if there's ever been a time to think about, is this important? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this what God has for me in store in my life? Or, you know, do I need to rearrange some things? And so there's instruction from the Word of God. I'm so thankful for that today. People say the Bible doesn't make any sense. Well, it does. Boy, if you'll give it a chance, if you'll get into God's Word, and the Bible speaks to us as to what to do in this present world. And so I want to thank you for listening in today. I want to recommend highly unto you the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that needs help, you say, preacher, I need to talk to somebody. You know, we're available. There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of Christians out there. Find somebody that can help you and show you from the Scripture what it means to be saved. And so I thank you for listening in today. Now, Lord willing, we'll be right back here Wednesday night, our Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. And we're studying in the book of Galatians. I'd like to encourage you to listen into that. There's a lot of other preachers trying to do the very best they can. And our prayers certainly go out to them. And so I wanted to mention that today as well. Thank you for listening in to my church family, Mount Lebanon. We love you. We miss you. And Lord willing, we'll get back in there just as soon as we possibly can. And so that's what we're waiting on. And so social media during this time has been a good thing. It's been a blessing. And I want to encourage you to reach out, stay in contact with one another, call one another, check on one another. And the Lord is in control. So we're going to have a word of prayer. And I did want to mention this, our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. There's about 10 years of sermons on there, mountlebanonbc.org. And then also we have sermons available by podcast. And you go to podbean.com and you search Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You put that app and it'll notify you when new messages are up. And so there's a lot of ways to hear. So thank you. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll be done for today. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God. Use it to speak to hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for what you do. Heal our country, heal our world, our nation, and help us as only you can. I thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen.